We're in the 11th verse of Ruth 2. The 11th verse is our text this morning. Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. Just the opening part, I'll read the whole verse to you. But it's the opening part especially. It says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her," this is Boaz speaking to Ruth, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." So especially the opening part of the verse, Boaz answered and said unto her these words, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband." And don't miss the contrast in the latter part of the verse. "And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity." I think it's true to say that generally the relationship with the mother-in-law is not a good one. There are exceptions, of course. There's exceptions to every rule. And maybe your relationship is one of those exceptions. I want to impress upon you this morning that with Ruth, Ruth certainly was an exception to that rule. There is a fact about this book of Ruth that I want to stress very clearly to you in the message this morning. And that is that one of the themes of this book, and keep in mind that every book of the Bible that you read and study, you should be seeking to find the main themes. That is true of every book of the Bible. There are main themes of study that the Lord wants us to see, to discern, and to seek to follow and to understand more fully. And one of the main themes of this book of Ruth is the theme of the mother-in-law, and how relevant, how practical, how up-to-date that really is. It is very significant that in the Bible, in the whole of the Scriptures, there are only 15 references to the mother-in-law. 12 of them are in the Old Testament, 3 in the New. And of the 12 that are found in the Old Testament Scriptures, 10 of them are in the book of Ruth. That's a very significant fact. The reality is, there's no other book of the Bible, and keep in mind how short this book is, just 4 chapters, but there's no other book of the Bible that speaks more to you about your mother-in-law and how to treat your mother-in-law than the book of Ruth does. You think of that. 10 out of 15 references in the Bible, 15 references in all, 10 of them are in this book. That means that 2/3 of what the Bible has to say on this subject are found in the 4 chapters of the book of Ruth. Remember, as you think of that, that Ruth is an example of many things. Last week we considered the fact that Ruth is a very clear example of a worker. We considered the theme of an honest day's work. And what a clear example of a conscientious, industrious person, industrious Christian, she set before us. So she is an example of many things, but not least among those things is the fact that she's an example of how to treat your mother-in-law in a God-honoring manner. Remember back in chapter 1, we took time to look at that great declaration of devotion that Ruth gave. Do you remember the words? "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." And you remember those words and so on. Some of you repeated those words on your wedding day, maybe before it or after it, as a vow that you gave the one to the other. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. And the words are very appropriate in that context. But remember, brethren and sisters, every time you read those words in Ruth 1, 16 and 17, and every time you quote them, remember that Ruth didn't make that declaration at the altar. Ruth didn't repeat those words to her husband. Ruth made that declaration to Naomi, to the one that was her mother-in-law. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee, and so on. Think of that. Could you make that same undertaking, the strength of the undertaking that Ruth made, could you make that to your mother-in-law? Normally the reality is you want to be as far away as possible from your mother-in-law. But that was not the case with Ruth. This book is a love story. There's not a doubt about that. We have looked already, and there'll be other themes that we'll take up that will bring in the romance of the story. We looked at that theme of love at first sight. That this book is a love story, but never forget that Ruth's greatest demonstration of love on human and earthly terms was not to Boaz, the one that she was to marry and was to be her husband, but her greatest demonstration of love was to her mother-in-law. We could sum up her example like this: ministering to mother-in-laws. That's the theme of the book. Some of you know about ministering to mothers and to fathers, particularly in old age, how demanding, how difficult, how challenging that can be. Well, here's a different theme, maybe on a different level. Ministering to mother-in-laws. And I want you to be in no doubt, men and women, take into account what was said already about the number of references to the mother-in-law in this book. I want you to be in no doubt. This is one of the most important messages of the book of Ruth. I'm sure you've heard over the years series on the family preached by different Bible teachers from the Word of God. You've heard messages on the mother and on the father. You've heard messages upon the children and so on, bringing up children in the home and the responsibilities of fathers and mothers and the duties that fall to children. And all of that is very good and very necessary. But can I ask you, have you ever heard a message on the mother-in-law in any of those such series? We must admit this morning, the Bible is not silent on this subject. And the fact is that maybe that relationship would be a lot better than a relationship between you and your mother-in-law. It might be a lot better if you considered what the Bible had to say about it, and if you followed a little more closely the example that this young woman sets to us here in this book. You think of the fifth commandment. We read the commandments this morning. Can encourage you maybe to take time to learn them. You maybe learned them as a child, memorized them. Maybe take the time to refresh your memory now that you're older. Honor thy father and thy mother. The question, of course, is how far does that actually go? Honor thy father and thy mother. Remember that the psalmist said that thy commandments are exceeding broad. Never forget that when you read the commandments of God, particularly the Ten Commandments. What that statement from the psalmist is saying is that the scope, the application of the commandments goes far beyond what we sometimes initially imagine. And the scope of the fifth commandment goes far beyond your own mother and your own father. Be in no doubt of that. If you want to have that clarified for you, I have the shorter catechism in my hand. Most of you learned it as a child. One of the best summaries of the teaching of the Word of God to be found anywhere. You get the shorter catechism out this afternoon in around 62, 63, 64, and so on, are all the questions that deal with the fifth commandment. Number 64 in the shorter catechism is what is required in the fifth commandment. And if you read that, and it's good to get this one that I has got a little commentary, and there are books that you can get that give you a commentary on the shorter catechism and on the Westminster Confession as well. If you read the answer to 64, it teaches you that your attitude to all legitimate authority, that's one of the scopes, the breadth of the application, your attitude to all legitimate authority, not just your mother and father. It teaches you how to give others their rightful place in your life. And I'd like you to take the time to consider that and to study it a little further yourself. You may honour your own father and mother. And I trust that you do in keeping of the commandment. We looked at that a little on Thursday night. We're going through the cries of the cross. Woman, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. We thought a little of the attitude of the Saviour, how to the very end of his days he honoured his mother according to the flesh, honoured Mary, gave her rightful place in his life. If you weren't there on Thursday night, the message was recorded. You can get a copy of it, or you can download it in a day or two from a sermon audio. But we did look a little at that on Thursday night. And you may honour your father and your mother, but do you really think that in doing that you keep the commandment fully and completely as God intended? Especially if you don't honour the mother and the father of the family that you married into. Remember that. The scope of the commandment goes that far as well, and much further, if you read what the shorter catechism has to teach about it. Do you really think that you fully keep the commandment, the fifth commandment, if you don't honour the father and the mother of the person that you married, the people that you describe as your father-in-law and your mother-in-law? Honouring your mother-in-law takes more grace, maybe takes more patience. And maybe you might say that's debatable. But it certainly does take a lot of grace and a lot of patience. But remember, brethren and sisters, it's required. It's something that's taught in the Scriptures. Ministering to mother-in-laws. That's what Ruth did. In fact, that is really what her life was taken up with. At this particular time, especially here in chapter 2, that was the whole burden, the whole responsibility of her life was ministering to Naomi. And in verse 11, what it's actually telling us is, you think of Boaz's words, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. Isn't that interesting? What were they talking about in Bethlehem at that time? They were talking about this young woman, Ruth, the Moabitess. And they were talking about the life that she lived, the way that her life stood out. And one of the things that they were talking about, especially when they talked about this young woman, was the way she treated her mother-in-law. Don't miss it. It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done. Unto who? Unto thy mother-in-law. Unto Naomi. You see, the way that Ruth was treating Naomi was so unusual that people were actually talking about it. Do you remember back in chapter 1, we looked at our responsibility to the dead. We looked at how she had treated those who had died in the family. Well, here is another aspect of her care and concern. We see how she treated her mother-in-law, the one we thought in one case of the dead. Well, here's her responsibility to the living, to the mother of her husband, and to the wife of the one that was or had been her father-in-law. So I want you to see from those words, from what Boaz says, it really stands out. The way she had ministered to Naomi, the care that she was showing to her, it was something that was well known in Bethlehem. In fact, it was so well known, people were talking about it. And Boaz had heard about it, and it really stood out and really spoke to people. You take a moment with me just to think of what Ruth did for Naomi. Think of your own life, your own mother-in-law, your own relationship, put alongside. Take a moment and think of what Ruth did for Naomi. Think of her, first of all, of her loyalty. Remember that Ruth stuck with Naomi when other members of the family had forsaken her. If you think of Orpah, the Bible says that she kissed her mother-in-law. She left Naomi, bid her farewell. But when Orpah forsook her, Ruth stayed with her. Ruth stayed at her side. So there's a little there about her loyalty. I want you to think not just of her loyalty, think of her labors. Remember, we've considered it. She was working in the field. She was a hard worker. She was industrious. But never forget, don't overlook the fact that it wasn't just for herself. She wasn't just out there in the field for self, as many are today. She was there to provide for Naomi as well. All the grain she was bringing home wasn't just to feed Ruth, feed Naomi too. The fact that Naomi wasn't in the field, you might ask, why was Ruth doing all the work? Why did Naomi not get into the field as well? Well, I reckon the reason for that is probably age. Naomi was now too old for such strenuous and demanding work, and the responsibility fell upon this young woman. So as you think of what she did for Naomi, there's her loyalty. She stayed with her, and she worked in the field to provide for her. You can think as well of her lunch, chapter 2, verse 18, and the end of the verse, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Sometimes you talk about taking somebody out for lunch. Maybe say to somebody, I'll buy you your lunch. Well, what did Ruth do for Naomi? She brought her home her lunch. She brought home some of the food. She was allowed to come and sit there with the reapers and the provisions that was made for them. But when she was sitting there having her own meal, her thoughts were on home and Naomi. Poor Naomi sitting at home. She has no food. And what she did was she kept a little over, bundled it up. Can you just picture putting it together? You get a doggy bag sometimes in the restaurant. Well, she put a little of it aside. And she brought it home, brought home of her lunch, because she had Naomi in mind. Think as well, not of the lunch, but think of the fact that she lived with her mother-in-law. Look at the last words of the chapter. It's another one of the references to Naomi and the mother-in-law. It says, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. It specifically says, her mother-in-law, the one that she lived with. Wouldn't that be the ultimate test? Imagine husband or wife, imagine this, saying to your wife or saying to your husband, my mother's coming to live with us. And she's going to come and live with us for the rest of her life, as long as she lives. You might think that's your worst nightmare. Bad enough when she comes to visit, just for a few hours. But Ruth lived She dwelt, her companion and her only companion in the home was her mother-in-law. She lived with her to give her that company to save her from loneliness. There's a very famous mother-in-law in the New Testament. Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. If you read those portions very carefully, it's interesting that Peter's mother-in-law is mentioned in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke being the synoptic gospels. His mother-in-law is mentioned in every one of them. And in at least two of the records, do you know what you're told? That it was Peter's house. It was Peter's home. And his mother-in-law was there. She lived with them. She dwelt with them as well. So there's an example there too. There's one other thing. If you think of what Naomi or Ruth did for Naomi, and that is she listened to her. If you look at the beginning of chapter 3, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And then come down to verse 5. Notice Ruth's response. "And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Isn't that interesting? Do you know there's some people not very good at taking advice? Somebody comes to you to tell you what to do. Highlight your mistakes. Give you a little bit of counsel. Show you the right thing to do. Some people are not good at taking such advice. Did you notice the response of Ruth? And remember, this is a response to her mother-in-law. You imagine your mother-in-law coming to you and telling you the way to live, what you should be doing. It might rankle you, rub you up the wrong way. It says, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Could you take advice from your mother-in-law the way Ruth did? So I want you to see in those five things, loyalty, labours, lunch, she lived with her mother-in-law, listened to her. In those five things, that's the relationship. That's the care summed up in those five things that Ruth gave to her mother-in-law. And I want to ask you, men and women, the question, how does your relationship with your in-laws, your mother-in-law in particular, how does it compare? Remember, we are to compare our lives with the example of Scripture. The Scripture is like a mirror. When you look into the mirror, you see yourself. Well, you're to look into the Word of God. See yourself in this light today. Remember too, a good way to describe it, in the Bible there are those that can be called pattern people. The idea behind that is their life is a pattern. And their life is a pattern for you and I to follow. And Ruth is a pattern person, especially in ministry to mother-in-laws. There is no greater pattern. There's no greater example as far as this particular ministry and this aspect of care to others in our family is concerned in all the Bible than there is in this young woman. She is the pattern person when it comes to ministering to your mother-in-law, to your in-laws as a whole. So I want you to think of those five things I set out. And I want you to ask, have you in the past? Are you today? Could you in the future? Do any of those things for your mother-in-law? Loyalty? Labour for her? The food? The lunch? Maybe the two most difficult ones are the live. Mother-in-law coming to live. Father-in-law coming to live. Or listening to the things that they want to say to you. I'll give you a wee bit of advice for the future. Have you? Are you? Could you? Do any of those things that Ruth did for her mother-in-law, could you do them for yours? Now those five things are not the points of the sermon. The five points of the sermon are still to come. Those are just the introduction, or part of the introduction. And I'll set up for you the five points that are yet to come. And we'll, in the will of God, take a little look at them again next week, if the Lord spares us all. And I'll set it up for you just by posing this question. You might want to object and say and argue, as so many people are wont to do. You might want to object and argue and say, well, that's all very nice what Ruth did. It's lovely. It's nice to read. What a blessing. But my situation is totally different. Maybe that's the way you want to argue. If you only knew my mother-in-law, well, maybe I do know your mother-in-law. Maybe know her as well as you know her. If you only knew my mother-in-law, you would understand that I couldn't do the things for her that Ruth did for Naomi. Well, I want you to know, men and women, in the ten references to the mother-in-law in this book, it answers most, if not all, if not every objection that can be raised, even by Christians, about ministering to mother-in-laws. And that's what we'll look at in the will of God in the next stage, the next part. Answering every objection from the scriptures. God has put these things in the book for a reason. Answering every objection that can be raised about living as this young woman lived and ministering to your family members and your in-laws the way she ministered to hers. So you think of those words, take them to heart today. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me. He had been given a detailed account. Nothing had been left out. All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. And it wasn't a bad report, remember. It stood out. It stood out so much that it took his attention of the way that she had looked after Naomi. So I pray the Lord will bless this introduction or these few thoughts to all of your hearts today. 500.